Yo, what's up, guys? It's JB here. Today is Saturday, the 19th of March, 2011. Today is the night after the release of Genesis V2. So we thought it was very appropriate to host a roundtable discussion with none other than Andre Jick. Andre's on the line right now.
What's up?
What's up? So we've been posting throughout the night. You guys have been asking questions about Genesis, about Andre, about anything and everything you could think of. So tonight our goal is to get to as many questions as we possibly can. We've been working on Genesis. Andre will tell you more about this for over 2 years now of filming and editing. Genesis V2 alone took, 6 months or so just for post-production. So this is a long process. It's 2.5 hours, this new DVD. So we got plenty to talk about tonight. So Andre, I thought a good question to start off with is by Verezo, Verezo post number two. This is Eric Samatis, who ironically enough was the one that posted last night. We released Twitch, which is his color change and utility move.
Great color change. Awesome.
Yeah, his question is, how many years have you spent creating and inventing flourishes before coming up for this list of things to include in Genesis? So how long were you involved in cardistry and card flourishing, whatever you want to call it, before before we entered this process of creating Genesis?
Right. Well, I've been creating since probably 2001, 2002. So for quite a while. But it took me 4 or 5 years into it to actually realize and to be comfortable with myself that my creations were original or good enough to share with people. But those first 4 to 5 years, I would create heavily just to jog my creative process, but I would never actually share those things with other people simply because they were either not original or I just wasn't confident enough. So it took me probably half a decade to maybe get comfortable with it and establish kind of a powerful or a strong enough foundation to share it with people so that it's original enough.
So did you learn the basics first of these moves, learn everything you could possibly see online of what other people are doing, and then evolved your own moves, or how did that process go?
Yeah, at first, that's what it was. At first, it was learning stuff that was already out. But what you got to realize is back then, there wasn't this like overflow of material to learn from. There was just like two other guys who would release stuff, which was maybe Brian Tudor and DeVoe. And there's like the only two people
When was the system released? When did Dan and Dave release the system?
I'm not sure. Maybe 2003? I don't know.
I don't remember. I think it was around that time frame. But I think you're right.
So yeah, there wasn't a lot of material to go by. So everyone knew everything. You had to know everyone's material to be considered even remotely good. And so from that, I would build my own stuff after I established some kind of foundation. But that's not what being original was all about. And it took me another 5 years to realize that being original is not putting spins off of existing moves. It's creating original stuff.
I want to keep going here. The next question, I think, is something that everyone who's listening to this podcast is thinking, but no one, or very few people had the balls to ask. I think it's just worth putting out there. I'm just going to address it right off the top. It's the questions from Zen Darkfire, post number three. What do you think of the new Rebecca Black song, Friday?
Oh, man, I knew we were going to get this question. I think it's the most artistic song I have ever heard. It is so expressive and so it's just thought provoking.
It's incredible. It really did change my life the first time I listened to it. I had no idea that Sunday and Saturday comes afterwards.
If I was JB answering this question, I would say it's almost as good, if not better, than Dippin' Dots.
I wouldn't go that far. It's way better than that. It's in a different league. All right, constructive question is from Ian Edson, post number four. Who are your favorite flourishers? Are there any other art forms that inspire you in the art of flourishing? So I guess I address this in two parts. Is there any particular other flourishers, up-and-coming people or established people? Obviously, there's the obvious people that everyone likes their work, Dan and Dave and Madison and et cetera. But is there anyone that you've seen recently that's really impressed you that you've developed a liking for? And then as a second part of that, follow-up to it, what other art forms inspire you to create new cardistry moves?
Yeah, I think other than the established guys like Daniel Madison and Dan and Dave, I love Gary's work, and let's see, Michael Herp's great stuff. Let's see, Bone Ho, he's awesome. It's his stripper name. It's also his real name. He's got great, great stuff. So, I mean, they're all people who I really love people who create original stuff. It just really inspires me to pick up a deck of cards and create something new. And as far as what other art forms inspire me to create, I would say cinematography, or rather filmmaking and cinematography. I love making beautiful images, which is where my inspiration comes from wanting to put cardistry up on stage and projecting it onto a large screen and adding that cinematography element to it all to kind of infuse the two together. So, and of course, music. Music helps too.
Yeah, it's an interesting analogy you just said about creating images with your cardistry and creating these visuals. I remember when I was really young hearing an interview or something with Joni Spina, who is used to be a choreographer for David Copperfield way back when. She still lectures, I know, in the magic industry, but she used to talk about creating these images up on stage when she would choreograph things with Copperfield, creating little pictures, I remember is what she said.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Richard Zadarozny from our development crew and Deknique founder has a question here. I thought that was thought-provoking. He said, I remember a few years back you're already on your way to becoming great stuff in cardistry. Then you took a break, it seems, for at least a year. When you came back, you brought an onslaught of new material, theme, etc. Was there anything specific that happened during that break, and why do you think it boosted your material so much?
Well, the reason I left was because I wanted to take my mind off the forums and every kind of thing that went along with it, which oftentimes, at that point anyway, I don't know, I don't think so much anymore, but there was just a lot of unnecessary drama and bickering and fighting, and I didn't want to be any part of it, and I just left for a while to start creating my own stuff. And I, at that point in my life, I was creating, or rather, I was doing a lot of other people's moves, and I didn't like that. I wanted to create my own stuff, and I knew I was capable of it, so I left and forced myself to create new things, and I kind of came back with it. And
did you actually have a departure from touching cards for a year, or was that just you were away from the online
I was just
scene?
I was just away from the online scene, but I have had, I think this addresses another question, I have left the cardistry scene for maybe, I don't know, probably a month or two at the most, and I think it's necessary to do that for anything you do in life. So just leave it for a while so that it kind of reignites your passion, so it doesn't become stale and you're not sick of it. But that happens to the best of us. That really get sick of it, just come back to it.
Yeah, it's a matter of not getting burnt out on something. You have this energy for whatever you're doing, whether that's magic or cardistry. And if you do anything to an extreme, it becomes the mundane. That's like
exactly
day to day.
It's perfectly natural to take a break.
Correct. There's a question, post number 10 from 3RYK. He's saying, he's a magician. One thing I've been struggling with is keeping my passion for magic alive. How have you gotten through discouraging moments, if any, and kept your passion hungry? So I guess that's a good follow-up to the previous question.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I do. I sometimes, when I find it mundane and just not interesting, I just leave it alone for a while. And chances are there's something that I see that it re-inspires me. And it's always different, whether it's someone, whether it's a video that I see online of someone posting a cool video with some original moves, or maybe it's a movie I've seen or some new sport. It's something to kind of reignite that spark. Something creative, something original always comes along, but it's not one set specific thing I refer to back. But there is a recipe of just leaving something alone for a little bit and then coming back to it that really always helps me.
Getting back here to the creative process is a question by More Magic, his post number 17 here. He says, what is your creative process involved? Do you invent flourishes from scratch? Do you take existing ones and modify them and add your own twist to them? What is that process like? Is there a specific, I'm asking this now, this is out of his question, was there a specific move that you can recall the moment that you created it and how that process came about that you could provide as an example here?
Yeah, let's see. I can't name any off the top of my head. I'll come back to it. But let's see. At first, again, maybe my first 3 to 4 years into cardistry, that's exactly what I did. I would take existing moves and add my own twist to it, but I knew they weren't original, which is something I think that's important to realize when you're creating
things.
They were
a variation, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. They were variations. And but let's see. If the one that comes to your head. Yeah, but honestly, the original moves that come to my head are usually either in my sleep or just sometimes when I'm playing the deck of cards, it randomly just comes to me. But the the times that I really, really create original stuff, and a lot of it is when I force myself to sit down and try to create something and, you know, give myself a deadline. And that really helps kind of push myself. It's not so much accidentally, although that happens too. It's more just kind of sitting down, and, you know, X amount of time to it, and then going for it. So I think it's JB. Who said artist create or artist publish or meet deadlines? What was it?
That was a quote from Steve Jobs, I believe. That was true artist ship, meaning true artists can create something, create it, and execute it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
There's about the creative process. This is getting into the process that of us creating Genesis. There's a question by Feel It. His post number is 22. How, when, and why did you decide to make these three DVDs? So can you talk about the overall process? You know, how, when was the point of deciding you wanted to do a DVD project? How did you create the content for this? You mentioned this kind of in your post yesterday when we announced Genesis 2, but can you kind of recap that briefly for people unaware?
Yeah, it was maybe 2.5. No, it was more like 3 years ago where I really decided I wanted to kind of take my cardistry further and really work with Theory 11 to create something, because they had a really cool style, and I knew that JB and Theory 11 really accomplished things that I didn't see any other company doing, as the production value and everything else. And that kind of inspired me to do something with them. And I approached JB maybe 2 years ago with this idea that I wanted to create like the ultimate cardistry project that would withstand the test of time. And, you know, I gave him a list of like 70 moves, and I was so overambitious about it. And
it was at least 70 moves.
It was at least 70 moves. And I literally told him it was 8 to 9 hours in length, and he kind of looked at me with a blank face, and he kind of dismissed it. And he's like, "Yeah, just write a list."
Well, I was expecting like, you know, a side of a napkin. Like, I want to do these six moves, but then Andre comes back to me with like, it looked like a biblical scroll that was like 4 feet long, 3 pages.
Yeah. So it's, but the cool thing about it all was it, everything that I wanted to do from the start has literally almost so precisely kind of came true. Everything I wanted to do, everything I saw the project being, it came true. I literally saw and scripted out certain scenes within the DVD that go exactly as the DVDs are now today. So it's really cool. Kind of panned out.
There was I forgot what you said in that post yesterday about just like the amount of work that this required. About, you know, there was times when we were filming this. Remember, I was kind of joking with you yesterday about 20 minutes before the release that, you know, we were joking that this is the project from hell several weeks ago, just because it was so, it's so massive and overwhelming and so many moves in each one. This one's 2.5 hours. The first one was 3.5 hours, close to four. So it was very overwhelming, but that's a good analogy to how performing and creating can be. Oftentimes it is overwhelming, and oftentimes you do want to say, screw it, I cannot do this anymore. I'm in over my head and I have to go, you know.
I've had to face that kind of thinking every day I was editing Genesis. There was literally when we create projects with Theory 11, we do have mistakes and little glitches within the programs that we're creating stuff with, but not the amount of times and not the kind of problems that we saw with Genesis. Like every day something new would come up that we had not seen before, and it was just so hard to deal with, and I just wanted to give up, and we couldn't. We've come so far, but
yeah, and it's not the fault of, you know, you or the footage. It's just, you know, editing, if I had to simplify the definition of editing a video or producing a video, you're hopefully taking good content and organizing it. So if you think you've got 10 sheets of paper, 52 cards, how long does it take you to put those 52 cards in order? Not too long, because there's only 52. Now imagine you have 550,000 decks, you know, cards. Now you got to organize those, and that's the scale of like Genesis. We had so much footage, and all had to look, you know, meet this quality criteria that we wanted. And we were going to refilm it if it didn't. And,
we literally have over 50 hours worth shot for Genesis projects. I think it takes up over 3 terabytes worth of space. So you know how when you shoot, if you shoot an hour's worth of stuff, you end up using maybe, you know, 30 seconds or a minute of it. Well, think of it like this. If we used 4 hours, or actually 7.5 hours, or 6.5, yeah, 6.5 hours that we've used for the project, imagine how much we've shot. If we've used 6.5 hours of it, how much of it there was to go through.
Over, yeah. But all has to be watched and all has to be poured over and then it has to be edited and then it has to be color corrected. And then we score our own music. People don't realize that throughout Genesis, I don't remember how many tracks there are. There's at least 10 or 10, yeah, 10 or 15 tracks that were created from scratch that we agonized over, we composed, we completed, and all that music is from scratch. It's not stock music that most other people use. I want to keep going here because we're talking about Genesis, and I want to talk more about Cardistry. There's a good question by Saberfang, and his question, which I believe is a pretty good follow-up, not to mention the post in the forum last week, but just from your opinion, I'm just asking for yours. His question is, how does Cardistry as an art form in your eyes differentiate itself from other art forms in the way that they communicate emotions and expressions? So how in your mind is Cardistry an art? How is it an art to you?
Well, it's really not different than any other art form if you think about it. I mean, a lot of people look at skateboarding, for example, as an art form. And what is skateboarding? If you really want to be specific and raw about it, skateboarding is just a guy who's manipulating a piece of wood with his legs. Okay, great. Yeah, I suppose you can simplify it like that. But if you do, you can take the same thing with Cardistry and say, okay, well, it's a guy manipulating 52 pieces of paper. It's really the same thing. And I think it is an art form because it has the potential to evoke emotion, but those emotions don't have to be the audience emotions. I can evoke emotion when I create things. You know, for example, some of my moves that I've created were a result of me being maybe angry or, you know, upset at the time of my life, and I created those things, and they inspired me to create. Now, if you want to, I don't know, I suppose it can evoke emotions too if you're performing it as well. You just have to do it right. And although it's maybe never been done before in the public's eyes, it certainly can be done. People just haven't seen it before. But which is why I don't dismiss it as an art form. It is. It definitely is.
Just, yeah, to some people, it's like, for example, my kind of analogy for this would be, for me, if I go ice skating, I look like an idiot. And it's just me with a little, you know, with razor shoes and, you know, sliding and busting my butt on the ice. But you've got these incredible, you know, in the Olympics ice skating, which is choreographed to music. It has climaxes. It's clearly expressing emotion. It's a story that's told, you know, these things. But it's just a blade. It's just a blade on frozen water. So you can
exactly.
It's very easy to simplify things down, but it is subjective depending on who's doing it and how, you know, how they're doing it is really the thing. So I think that's a good answer that you provided to the question that was asked. Kind of an easy question here. I don't know how to pronounce his username, something, something, how we trust. He's from Indonesia. His post number is 26. When you do flourishes with cards, how long do the cards last? So he's basically saying, how long does the deck of cards last you?
Well, for me, it probably lasts as long as I want it to.
This is true. Andre used to pull, I like to use a deck of cards, for example, until it no longer fans and it starts clumping up, and you know, which for me takes about week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on the deck and where I am. If I'm in a really humid environment, if I'm outside a lot, or if it's just at my desk, I always have one deck of cards. Right now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 decks of cards on my desk. It takes me about 2, 3 weeks, I'd say, on average. Andre, when I used to throw these cards away, used to take the cards out of my trash can and then continue to use them for like 6 weeks. Until the cards are brown and the edges are like black and they've got blood all, they don't have blood on them, but what?
No, but JB's so spoiled. It's ridiculous. His cards really fan well, and then no, these are unacceptable. I can't use these anymore, and they're still brand new condition.
We have the luxury that we manufacture a lot of cards, so yes. We're fortunate to have that luxury, and I can be a little bit more of a Nazi with my cards.
It's great.
Let's see here. A guy posting is Sleight of Hand 6661. Post number is 28. This is his first post in the forum. First and foremost, thank you for posting and participating tonight. If one is to get started in cardistry and card flourishing, what DVD or DVDs would you recommend starting with? Obviously, Genesis 1 is the natural thing. But aside from Genesis, is there something specific you would recommend advice-wise to this person? Would you recommend them watching videos on YouTube of people performing cardistry? What would your advice be? What advice do you hope you or do you wish you would have gotten when you were starting out in cardistry that you may not have?
Oh, you could always get Genesis Volume 2 as well.
Not
there's also that.
Though, yeah.
There's also that option. No, I think a good resource to begin with, other than Genesis, is Jerry Siskowski's Encyclopedia of Playing Card Flourishes. It's a really great book, and it provides a lot of moves that people have forgotten about, but are still really, really great moves that help build and establish your foundation within the art. So that's definitely something I would recommend picking up. I would say stay away from YouTube videos, though.
From watching them or learning from them?
From learning from them. You always watch them.
Unless it's an instructional video from someone good that wants to release it on YouTube. But for the most part, you know, it's like learning a magic trick by watching someone perform it. There's a lot more that goes into it other than the final result. So is it possible to learn it from that? Yes. Is it ethical? Probably not. And is it ideal? Most definitely not.
Yeah, there's a sense of finesse that YouTube videos lack. There's a little elements like that.
There's a question here by Aaron Williams. He's in Tennessee, Nashville, actually, post number 33. Out of all the flashy, creative, interesting art forms out there, what is it about cardistry that attracted you? Is there something about this? Was it? I remember talking to you a long time ago. You used to perform magic as a kind of a hobby. Was it the magic that carried over into cardistry? Was there something else about cards in this art form specifically that caught your eye?
That's a good question. I really have no idea why cardistry appealed to me as much as it did. But I'm really eclectic. I'm really all over the place. I love everything. And I wish I had, I wish my days were more than just 24 hours so I could be and do and everything and learn everything. But I don't know. I did do magic before, though. That's what I began with. And after doing magic for maybe a year, I saw something on a forums and about some flourishing move, and I really loved it. And there was no tutorial on it, so I had to like rewind the video 10,000 times and watch it. But I really have no idea why cardistry appealed to me as much as it did over anything else. I wish I could answer that.
There's a question here from Ristanto. He's in Southeast Asia. His post number is 36. He's saying, I saw in the trailer for Genesis V2, it contains some names that are like astronomical things: Adam, Interlock, Delta, Stardust. Where did you get these names from? I think it's a great question.
I didn't even know that. Wow, that's awesome. Maybe I was subconsciously kind of inspired because I really am a big physics buff, and I watch a lot of videos with Michio Kaku, which is a premier world physicist, and I really don't think of it like that. I'm not like, I like space, so I'm just going to name this move something galactic-like. No, I don't know. It's just, I really don't. I really am horrible with giving names to flourishes, by the way. So I'm not the best person naming flourishes. So I do need help from other people. And I oftentimes ask JB to help me name something because I really am bad with names as a parent.
Oh, Interlock Delta. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a question here I think everyone has asked before, but it's good to review in here. This question's by Silver Ace. Post number is 45. How long do you practice a day? And I know you don't, or most people, once they're established on a certain level with their skills, they don't sit down and practice. They just happen to always perform a lot, or they're always flourishing in your case. What's your outlook on practice and how to practice?
Okay, so for the first 4 to 5 years into cardistry, I literally practiced every single day between 8 to 10 hours every day for the first 4 to 5 years. And I don't know how I juggled school and everything else, but I did. And that really helped me establish a huge foundation that in the future, when I would learn moves, it would be a lot easier and less time consuming. So again, 8 to 10 hours my first 4 to 5 years into it. But then as soon as I kind of built up that foundation, I didn't have to practice that much. So now if you teach me or show me a move, I can learn it much faster because I always try to change it up a bit. So everything I learn is different than anything I've created or done before. So it really helps. Throughout the day, the deck is in my hands while I'm editing or,
just going right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It literally is in your hands. Here's a different type of question, not about Genesis and not about cardistry. It's about us overall. The post is from Ben TCM. His post number is 49. It says, why Theory 11 and not other companies? So, I mean, obviously I have a lot of answers on this question. I think the difference between what we do, and I'm not just saying we as in speaking about myself and first person plural. It's a whole team. You know, it's myself and it's you and it's Richard and it's Dan and it's Chris and it's Katie and it's Jason and it's Apollo, who I was on the phone with for 2 hours last night. It's this whole alliance of friends and colleagues and people that work with us directly and people that we just consult with. We have, I think the biggest difference is A, we have a passion for what we're doing that I haven't seen any other company have, not nearly to the degree that we put it into our work. And the second thing is work ethic. How much and how far we're willing to go to stand behind what we meant when we said quality over quantity. You know, how if there's a tiny little audio blip in a video that I find,
Oh God.
we fix it and we re-export the whole thing. And if there's, you know, the tiniest thing we look out for, and when we are submitted a new effect, how many eyes it goes in front of. And I'll send, Dan will look, Dan White will look at it first, and then it will go to me, and then I'll show it to Andre, and then we'll show it to Zach, Casey. I'll show it to Jason and Chris to make sure it hasn't been done before and see what their eyes think. So I think with Theory 11, what you're getting is a kind of a summation of knowledge and passion of this team. And we pour that hopefully into our work. And that doesn't mean you're going to love everything we're going to do, but I think there's a lot higher chance of that happening with our stuff versus others just because of the way we work.
Yeah, I can't top that answer. I agree. It's the ridiculous attention to detail, the people that work with us, and it's really the dream team. I would not want to work with anyone else. So it's great.
Yeah, I think it's those two things. It's the passion, A, and the side effect of that passion is the work ethic. How many hours we put into this stuff and how detailed we are. When anyone else would say good enough, that's when we're getting started.
There have been days where we've delayed a release of a one-on-one simply because the font size was 2 points bigger than what it needed to be.
It's
So
yeah.
it's pretty
It's a
ridiculous.
fine balance between being a perfectionist and actually knowing when something is done. And that's a what do you call it? It's a kind of an instinct thing. You know, everyone on team knows when it's like, all right, this is good. This is ready to be released. But we have a very high standard for something on this site, which again does not mean that we're perfect and does not mean that we won't make mistakes and does not mean that you'll like everything on our site because everyone's different and to each his own. But it means that, you know, we produce things that we're personally passionate about, and that's it. Here's a question. Let's see. Lusife Ho in Hong Kong. Have you ever had a downfall within your experience with flourishing in magic? If so, how did you overcome it? Was there one specific impasse that you were like, I don't want to do this anymore, or you had a particularly, you know, rough thing and you wanted to completely give it up? Have you ever gotten to that point, an impasse, and overcome it? And what would your advice be to someone who might be or might eventually reach that, you know, point?
It was when I used to go out to perform on the streets of Las Vegas or go to the magic shops and show magicians and everyone what I did. And they would literally slap cards out of my hands and kick me out of the casinos at times because they didn't like what I was doing. They didn't think it was magic. And I was, you know, those. And aside from that, I had to juggle school and everything else. There was a point in my life where I had to grow up and I didn't know whether I should stick with it or to move on. And I was frustrated, I was angry, I didn't know what to do. And I channeled that energy to positive and I stuck with it and I kind of transformed it into a creative process and into an effort to stick with it and keep going. So when all else fails, just don't listen to anyone and keep doing what you're doing. If you really believe in it, then it eventually it'll, you know, you'll become something. So
I was going to say, I'm trying to think of a good wrap-up question here because we need to finish this thing up. I think everything you said thus far is really good advice for people listening to this. I think we've gone into a detail about the process and how much blood, sweat, and tears went into Genesis V2 and Genesis V1. The last thing I want to talk about is Cardistry Collaboration Contest because we launched this at the same time as the Genesis release last night at 11. They have 4 weeks. You have until April 15th, I believe, which is a Friday, to finish your video. I think it's sometime within the next week we're going to release the music that you're allowed to use. But so you basically have 1 week up until this coming Friday to try to get your team together. So just from my perspective, that's what I would be doing if I were you guys, looking at people, trying to network, and get your teams together of what you're going to do and how you're going to collaborate and what your video is going to be like. And then as soon as the music is released this coming week, you can get started. You can really get to it. I think making videos like that, I think working with other people that are obviously passionate about cardistry or about anything you do is a really good way to propel yourself and your own passion forward. So I think that's a great way to do that and keep yourself moving. Andre, is there any besides you've got the trophy in your hands right now? Andre's not going to win, but he physically has the trophy in his hands right
Yeah,
now.
I think I'll keep it.
Tell people what it looks like if they haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's really heavy. I don't know how many pounds it is. It feels like it's at least 10 pounds. It's made of steel, I think. Is it steel?
I
Maybe.
believe it is. It's either steel or aluminum, but it's very thick and
It's
it's milled from one solid block
yeah.
of
It
metal.
looks really, really pretty, really elegant. But some advice I have for people is to when you get your team, video quality is not so much important as making something short, sweet, and to the point. Don't make a video. If you can make a video of 3 minutes, then that's in length, at least 3 minutes. Do not go for that length. That's too long. We have to go through probably hundreds of submissions, and it really helps when videos are shorter because it keeps our attention. And try to slim it down. Use the best moves, your most original. Originality is not everything, but it definitely helps and it adds to it. So, short and sweet really, really helps in many cases.
If I were to give people one small hint before we go tonight, with the note that you just said about keeping things short, everyone to themselves is always more interesting than they are to others. So if you think that your 5-minute video of flourishing is amazing, other people will probably think it was really amazing too for the first minute. So it's
Exactly.
keeping that in mind. The music that we're going to be providing to you guys is actually it's recut, remixed versions of music that are from Genesis V2. Because again, I mentioned we made all this original music. Both of the songs that we're going to be providing are under 1 minute in length. They are 1 minute or less in length. So that'll give you guys that as a hint tonight, so you can keep that in mind when you're piecing together your video in your mind of if you've got three team members, or two team members, that's about 30 seconds each of content that you need to be creating and thinking about what you're going to perform and how you're going to present it and all that jazz. But
Yeah,
look out for that next week.
it's great. It teaches you how to say a lot in a small amount of time that's allotted to you. So it'll definitely help you kind of force yourself to slim down and create a video that kind of retains the attention of other people. So just keep that in mind.
Cool. All right, well, I think we got to everything we could possibly get to and jam-packed into this tonight. It's about 30 minutes and running in this podcast so far. So we're going to wrap this up. Please, please, please join me. Support Andre. Check out Genesis V2. Check out Genesis V1 if you haven't already done so. It's definitely a sequential process here. So Genesis V2 builds upon the skills you learned in Genesis V1. So you are expected to know that and those moves before you move on. But check those out. Definitely let us know what you think once you get it in the mail. And Andre, thanks for answering the questions tonight. And thanks to everyone who participated and asked things on the forums.
Thanks for having me. Take
Awesome.
care.
We'll talk to you guys soon.